Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let me pray one more time before we get going. Let me just bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for waking us up. We thank you just for sustaining our lives on the way here. Father, we thank you just for allowing us to enter this room together, Father. I'm seeing many new faces. I'm seeing all ethnicities, all cultures, all backgrounds, Father. I'm seeing your kingdom right here in this room. I'm seeing your kingdom right here in this room, Father, and I just want to thank you because I'm not worthy to stand before these people, Father. I'm not worthy to be here, so I'm asking that you remove me, Father, so that they can just see all of you, Father, the same way you was working on this message at 4 o'clock in the morning when I wasn't sure if we was even going to get it done, Father. I'm asking that you deliver this message this morning so that they can hear from you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all don't understand how the words to that song, you are good, woo! Good morning, Church on the Rock!
Good morning,
I said, good morning, Church on the Rock! My name's Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm the full-time pastor of this church. Y'all don't understand how good he is. 1 year ago today, Labor Day weekend on a Sunday, this church decided to ordain me as their pastor, as their pastor. And then a year later, this church decided to take care of me as their pastor. So when I say he is good, y'all better say all the time. He's good and all the time. Amen. We're going to get going today. And I think about these things and how it brings me joy to know that you see me as your pastor. It brings me joy to know that you're willing to take care of me as your pastor. But as we get ready to get into this scripture, I want you to understand what would complete my joy. I'm going to be a little selfish today. What would complete my joy? We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to bring you up to speed real quick. We are doing a series called All Alone Together. That's the Greek word for one another. So we're doing a series called One Another Together. We are looking at each other and saying, what did God call the church to actually be? Was it to sit in rows and look at the back of each other's heads? No, whoever said that, get out. My worship leader has to go today. But we looked at these 59 one another's and we're doing this study. Some of you follow me on Facebook and you're seeing day after day, we're looking at the different one another's that God has called us to. And we're challenging each other to do more than just come together on Sunday morning and actually be one another together. This week, we're looking at value and honor. Value and honor. And in today's context, how important is that? How important is it that we honor one another? So Paul was writing to the Philippians, probably his favorite church, probably his most prized church. When he opens up, he talks about the joy that he has because of their faith and their love of the gospel and the way that they're living the gospel out. And he's so excited for them, and he's praying over them. He talks about how he makes mention of them in all of his prayers. Paul loves the Philippian church the way I love Church on the Rock. He loves them. He loves them. But then we come to chapter 2, and as he builds his case here for what he's about to talk about, go to chapter 2, verse 1 real quick. He says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, go. He says, make my joy complete. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Keep going. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. He closes and says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So that's where we're going to be today, looking at the value and the honor for one. Like, how do we get there? How do we get to that place? How do we complete the joy of the pastor in Paul's case, or in my case? How do you actually complete the joy? I'm so happy that you've made me your pastor, so happy you made me full-time, but how do we complete and fulfill that joy? Well, it's going to start here. My first point, prioritizing his message. Prioritizing his message, not yours, his message. You see, in the context, Philippians 1:27 says this. He looked at him and said, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what's leading up to where he's talking in Philippians 2. He's looking at you and saying, conduct yourself. If you're a believer, and if you claim this thing called Christ, and if you're a Christian, and if you come in here and you talk about he's good, then walk like it. Don't just talk like it. Walk like it. Walk like it. Live like it. Conduct yourself like you belong to this good, good God, right? So he comes to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2, 1, and he starts building it. And he says, so therefore, if, and there's three different ways you can do if in the Greek, all right? There's a third degree. I'm going to teach real quick. There's a third degree of if that says if as in maybe, right? And then there's a second degree of if that's like if as in probably. But here it's the first degree of if as in this is a fact. So you can really translate that instead of if, you can say since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit and affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Look at that real quick. Go back. Look at that real quick. Stay right here. Same mind. Same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. All you see is unity, because unity is the walk of the gospel. So if you're walking in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, you're walking in unity, sameness. Think about that real quick. It's not an external walk either. I mean, we're all gathered here, right? And people from the outside could look and think externally that we are in unity, but it's something on the inside that we're talking about here. You see, same mind, that's an internal thing. Same love, that's an internal thing. United in spirit, I can't see that, right? Intent on one purpose, I can't see those things. This is an internal unity. So we could all, like, you go to the Colts game, right? Everybody could be wearing these Colts jerseys, but that don't mean we united in mind. Yeah, we cheering on the outside for the same team, but are we really united when all we see is division in this world, right? Are we really of the same mind, same love, same spirit, same purpose, just because we're wearing jerseys on the outside? It's the same thing in the church. We got Church on the Rock shirts, right? But does that make us united? Or is it what's going on underneath that shirt? I think about my boy Bobby's here. I got to call him out. We grew up dancing together. We grew up line dancing together. Don't make me go back, but we grew up line dancing together, and we came from different backgrounds. He came from Avon, I was in Brownsburg. We got together, and we just both had a natural love for music. But whenever we was out in the club, it was back in the day, I was in the club, okay? We people were so amazed by our synchronization. Like, when I pop, he pop. When I go this way, he go that way. He do some footwork, I do some footwork. And they just like, how do y'all do that? And it's something internal that's going on. It's the same beat, same rhythm that we're bouncing to, same rhythm that we're moving to. And I'm looking at the church and saying, do we have the same rhythm? Because the rhythm is his message. It's his message. See, the gospel says that all of us are sinners. All of us. That's his message. And it says that all of us are separated from God as a result. That's his message. And it says that all of us need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross for you while you were his enemy. So when you call on the name of the Lord, who? When anyone calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved. That's the rhythm we're supposed to be moving to. That's the unity that's found in his message. That allows us to break barriers, right? That allows us to come in here, black, white, Chinese, whatever we are in here, and do this together and sing together and say, you are good, because we're talking about the same God with the same message who wants the same things for his children. I'm not worried about what you look like on the outside. I'm not worried about where you come from. I'm not worried about how long you've been saved, how long you ain't been. We're calling on the same Father. Dancing to the same message. So just think about this. If we can't do that, if we can't move according to his message, if we can't prioritize his message, no wonder the world is looking at the church and don't want nothing to do with it. Because I can have division in the world. I ain't got to wake up and be at church at 9:30 for division. I can get that in the world, right? So essentially, if we can't live in unity, then we hinder the witness. Because what is going on inside of you? We claim we have this Holy Spirit. The power of resurrection is inside of us. But he can't overcome our differences? What I need that for? He can't help me love my brother, put aside my differences. I can get that in the world. I don't have to come inside of here. We're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to go out among the community, among the world, hand in hand, black, white, old, young, all these things, and people look at us and say, how are y'all dancing to the same beat? How y'all using the same footwork, the same pop and lock? And we look back and say, because it's the same message. I can go anywhere in America and feel home in any church that is living by the gospel message, because it's the same message. So we have to prioritize his message before we can even understand what it is to value one another. Why? Well, that's my next point. Because then it allows us to prioritize his measure. The very next verse, Paul says, go to 2:3 for me. The very next verse, Paul says this. He says, 2:3. Philippians 2:3, I'm sorry, we there. There we go. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Stop right there. With humility of mind. It's literally like it's lowering yourself, right? It's putting yourself down. It's humbling yourself. It's getting low. Well, it's hard to do that if you're measuring up to one another. So if I'm looking at you and I'm like, Vince, I think I'm awesome because I'm a better Christian than you based on how you live your life. Now I'm conceited. Now I got this vain glory. Now I'm acting like now I'm looking at my spouse and saying, you need to get your life together because I got my life together. Y'all laughing, but I'm telling the truth. My wife did it this morning. No, I'm just playing. But no, seriously. This is what you need to ask yourself, seriously. This is how you prioritize his measure. Ask yourself this question. Who is the worst sinner you know? And if that's right. And if it's anybody other than yourself, you have a pride issue. Because you don't know nobody else. You see what you see on the outside, but you know yourself. You know what's going on inside of you. And I'm standing here right now telling you I'm the worst sinner that I know. And I stand on that, and I look at Paul in 1 Timothy. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy 1. Even Paul said it. Paul, who wrote 13 epistles of the New Testament, said this in 1 Timothy 1. This is what he said. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me. So he looks at Christ and says, I didn't strengthen myself. Christ strengthened me. Because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Christ considered him faithful. Christ put him into service. Keep going. He says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, I got a lot of people in here today who know me before I knew Christ. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, an alcoholic, addicted to porn. The list goes on and on and on and on. And that humbles me. And that makes me look at his measure, not mine. And no matter if I'm preaching or I'm out in the parking lot or whatever I'm doing, I'm not judging you on you. I'm not holding myself up against you. I'm not holding you here and holding me here and say, therefore I'm better or I'm doing good in my Christian walk. I'm looking at Christ. I'm looking at his measure and saying, I don't measure up. So that allows me to humble myself and do nothing from empty conceit or selfishness. Because I'm not worthy to be up here. I'm not worthy to be a pastor. I'm not worthy to be a full-time pastor. I'm not worthy for y'all to be listening to me. It's all him. And when I think about that, I can't look at you and look down on you. I have to get on my knees and look across, look right across at you. Because you look no different than me in view of Christ, in view of his measure. So Paul says, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Keep going. And then he says, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. He goes on, he finishes this text. He says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. That was Paul, the apostle. That was Paul, 13 epistles of the New Testament, and said, I am the foremost sinner of all. The man that corrected the churches, the man that wrote the things that we believe in by the power of the Holy Spirit, looks at you and says, I am foremost of all, because he's comparing himself to the measure of Christ. It humbles you. It brings you low. It's in that moment the homosexual can walk in the church and I can look at that person and understand that they're struggling with sin just like me. The alcoholic, the one addicted to drugs, the one, the adulterer, any sin, I'm looking at you and saying, you're no different than me. So then we go back to the same message. And we win people over with the same message, his message. And now you have this unity that doesn't exist out there. Because out there, I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm not enough this, or I'm too much of that. And there's a division for anything. Just wait 2 weeks and there'll be something else that we're fighting about, right? But in the church, because of Christ, because of his measure, I'm no different than you. I got the same sin problem that you got. I'm not looking down on you. I'm not judging you. And if I am, I'm just showing you that I'm struggling with sin. Let's just be real. So this is what brings unity, and this is what shows value of one another. Prioritizing his message. Prioritizing his measure. And I'm moving quickly, but we're going to go to the next one. Prioritizing his members. He closes it out. Go back to Philippians 2:3 real quick. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard or place in the forefront. Prioritize is what that word is. Prioritize one another as more important than yourselves. Keep going. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So this is like when me and my wife are walking in the neighborhood and doing our jog or our walk, I stand on the outside where the street is, and she's on the inside. Any of y'all men not doing it, now you better get in, you better get together. Because if a car was to swerve or something, her life is more important than mine, so I stand on the outside. Or better yet, when we get B-dubs and we get like the Asian zing and the chicken parmesan wings, I know I get y'all hungry every week, right? We get B-dubs and we're eating the wings and, you know, you shouldn't be counting them, but you are to make sure it's even. You like, okay. You like, she on number 3. That's 4, right? And you get down to that last wing. The godly thing to do is say, baby, you can have it. Because you mean more. Your appetite means more than me. The Rashad thing to do is be like, I think you was on number 5. I'm on 4. I'm just going to go and take this one right here. But in all seriousness, I did a funeral yesterday of a very dear friend. very dear friend. I used to bring him to the church. It was tough because I've done funerals before, but not of one that was just like a friend. And it really, I didn't get to start working on my sermon until like 2 this morning, right? But I was thinking through regarding one another as more important than yourselves. You see people who have broken relationships, who don't talk to each other, haven't been speaking for years, but because somebody passed away, they begin to regard one another as more important than themselves. They begin to say, your interests are more important than mine because there was a death, right? And it just hit me, man. Like, I'm tired of waiting until somebody dies to look at my church family or to look at my brother or look at my sister and say, you mean more to me than myself. Your interests matter as much as mine, but that's what we do. We wait until there's a death or a life. All the babies we got in the church, that's when we're reaching out to people. But when do we reach out when everything's just okay? Because you matter that much to me. Because I honor and I value you that much. Look around the church real quick, especially those of you who are members. Who don't you know? Why not? Why not? Especially of the things that we've been talking about with the one another's and how it's going to take encouragement to finish this race together. Who don't you know and why don't you know them? Does it mean something to you? You see, Phil, I didn't even know he was going to do this, but he said, how many people know Rashad? And there's a lot of hands that went up, but that's not because I'm the pastor. That's because you matter to me. You matter to me. It's Labor Day weekend, and normally this is a low week in churches, like nationally. It's a low week because it's a holiday weekend, and you're all here praising God. Y'all matter to me, man. Like, you don't understand how much you matter to me. I'm working on my sermon early in the morning because you matter to me. Not because I want to look good or have something presentable for you, but you actually matter to me. Your interests matter as much as mine. I see you as higher than I see myself, but why can't we see that for each other? That's not a pastor thing. That's a Christian thing. That's a one another thing. That's a brotherly love thing. That's the Holy Spirit walking in you thing. That's a conducting yourself in the manner of the gospel thing. So what does it take to get there? Why does it take a death for us to realize how much we mean to each other? If you need a death, Christ died. Wasn't that enough? Wasn't that enough for me to look at what he did on the cross for me? And all he asked me to do is do the same for you in return? That's enough for me. That's enough for me to lay down my life for you because he laid down his life for me. That's the same message. That's the same measure, right? These are the things we're supposed to be prioritizing. Just look around you right now. And I'm going to go old school. Look to your neighbor and say, you matter. Y'all not comfortable with that, right? All right, we're going to be uncomfortable real quick. Look to your neighbor and say, you matter. Yeah, we just switching it up today, ain't we? But seriously, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, y'all. I can't thank you enough for confirming what I feel God placed on my heart years ago at New Living Bible Church. I can't thank you enough for supporting my family so that I can get rest and get back to prioritizing my wife, my daughter, my relationship with God. I can't thank you enough because that's basically you guys looking at me and saying I matter to you. But I would rather work 3 jobs and I would rather be super bivocational pastor to see you matter to each other. I mean that. My joy is made complete when I see the things that are going on in this congregation that have nothing to do with the name Church on the Rock. It's just genuine love of one another. It's just genuine people looking at each other saying, you're different than me, I have a different background than you, but you matter. And I challenge you to start that in your own homes, in your marriages, with your children and then bring it into the church. What does that look like? Go back there and help with the kids and show them that they matter more than your personal interests. Think about that. Because that's where I'm at this morning. I laid down a friend who maybe I didn't say you matter enough, you know? I laid down a friend who reached out to me and extended that hand saying, I need you. And I got so busy in life and so busy in what I was doing that maybe I didn't put his interests to the forefront of my mind enough. I don't want to feel that again, so I want to make sure I'm always taking that step, taking that initiative to look at you and say, you matter. You matter to me. So as I close out, I want to challenge you today. We have a very, very beautiful, diverse congregation today, and the sermon was shorter than normal. Amen? So I want you to take a moment after service and talk to somebody you don't know. Don't just run out of here. Talk to somebody you don't know and let them know they matter. Let them know they mean something. Not because of their status, not because of their skin color, but because of what Christ did for you. Some of you may be struggling with that. Some of you may not be used to that. Some of you may be new to all of this. I want you to know right now that I'm available. And I'll stay here as long as I need to let you know that you matter to Christ first and foremost. This is such an awesome turnout, and I'm humbled. This is the vision. Those of you who are members, this is the vision. Look around. This is the vision of Church on the Rock. Building his body and breaking our barriers. There are people who are here who have just taken chances to be here. This is the vision. This is what we want. A diverse congregation of people who matter to one another because of Christ.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.